looking forward to a good service here today. Make sure you let your light shine here tonight as we're going through. I can't see you apart from a bunch of lights, okay? So you let them shine, and then I know you're not walking out on me, all right? Good, all right. Luke chapter number 2 and verse number 1. And this first portion we'll read through verse number 5. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. Let's stand and sing "O Little Town of Bethlehem," number 305 in your hymnbook. Now that you can see it too well, let's sing it together. "O Little Town."
O little town of Bethlehem, how still we keep thee by. Above thy even dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. Yet in thy dark streets shine, and the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are wedded in thee tonight.
And you may be seated. Continue on in verse number 6 of Luke 2. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Let's stand and sing "Away in a Manger." We'll sing the first two verses of "Away in a Manger," and then after that we'll sing "Silent Night."
Abiding in the field,
keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Let's stand and sing. Angels we have heard on high, number 303 if you're using your hymnal. We'll sing the first and the third verse.
Angels we have heard.
Gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Let's stand and sing, O come, all ye faithful. Number 316 in your hymnal. O come, all ye faithful. We'll sing the first and the third verse.
O come, all ye faithful, joyful.
Hey!
Concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. One more song here, number 317. Let's stand. Joy to the world. Let's sing this song. Joy to the world.
Joy to the world. The Lord has come. Let earth receive the King. Let every heart prepare Him room.
Look at Jesus being the light of the world, and then we'll continue on. Book of John, chapter number 1, if you're following along in your Bibles. John, chapter number 1. Each one of the Gospels deals with a different focus. We were just reading in Luke, and Luke talks about Jesus, how God became man. Matthew talks about how God became king. Mark talks about how God became a servant, but John talks about how God was still God. In John chapter 1 and verse number 7, he says this. It's talking about a man named John the Baptist, as we would call him, or John the Baptizer. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was a true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came to his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Three simple truths about Jesus, the light of the world, here in this candlelight service here tonight. Number one, Jesus is the real light. There are lots of places you can get light in this world. Of course, we're talking here when we're talking about light, not just the candles you're holding in your hand, of course. We're talking about truth. What is truth? Pilate said. There's lots of places you can find truth. But can I tell you, can I remind you, Jesus was the real truth. He was the real light. It goes and it talks about this John the Baptist. He was a witness of the light, but he was not the light himself. Probably this morning, you went and you stood in front of a mirror. You got yourself ready for the day. You shaved. You did your hair. I don't have to worry about that too much. But you got ready for the day and you looked in that mirror. If there was a light on in that room, then that light reflected off of that mirror. Now that mirror was not the light. That mirror just pointed to the light. And that's what it's describing John the Baptist of. It's saying John was just a mirror that reflected the light of Christ. He pointed to it. He was the witness of the light. The true light, we find in verse number 9, is what lights every man that comes into the world. Did you know that every person, when they are born, they have the light of God inside of them? That the reality is, the Bible teaches us very clearly that we have a conscience in our hearts. The work of the light is that God lights and reveals what should happen in our life. He shows us deep inside how we should be. The problem is, we're just not that way, are we? The light points out our flaws. It shows who we really are. And frankly, a lot of times we don't want to see those flaws. I don't know about you, but some mornings I'd rather not look in the mirror. A lot of mornings I'd rather not look in the mirror. The reality is that Jesus is the light. He shows truth. John chapter 3, Jesus tells Nicodemus that light is come into the world, but men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. John 3 and verse number 19. People like to not be told that they do anything wrong. I guarantee you, you don't enjoy being corrected. None of us do. But Jesus showed that we have problems. He is, number one, the real light. Number two, He's the received light. If you went through your life and you had the opportunity and the availability to see, to be able to see what goes on in this world, to not be blinded in your eyes, but yet you chose to keep your eyes closed, you'd be very foolish indeed. Jesus is the light, but He is only the light so far as He is received. This passage goes on in John 1 and verse number 10 and says this: He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. Verse 11, He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Jesus is the received light. Now, can I remind you, not everyone receives Jesus. The reality is, even though He came to this earth to become a baby, even though He came to suffer and die for our sins, not everyone receives Him. He is rejected, isn't He? Verse 10, it talks about the world that He made. He's been talking about that in John 1. We don't have time to look at that. The world that Christ made didn't even know Him. He came unto His own, that is, the Jewish people, but they rejected. They didn't receive Him. But He gave a great truth. Even though He is rejected, He can be received. Look at verse number 12. I love it there. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Number one, there's a transformation that Christ does in the light.
in verse number 12, it says, if you receive Christ, then you become a child of God. Praise the Lord, friends. If you've received Christ, if you are in His family, if you've received Christ as your Savior, you're His child. That never changes. Praise the Lord for that truth. The transformation. His expectation. How do you get this transformation? How to become a child of God? You have to believe and you have to receive. This evening, perhaps, you might give some gifts. I don't know if you give gifts on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day or what have you. Each family does things different. But whether it's this evening or tomorrow, you'll give some gifts. Can you imagine if your child, I have four children. I have a 9-year-old, I have a 5-year-old, I have a 3-year-old, and I have a baby. I am very busy. But if you can imagine those kids, Joshua, Esther, Anna, and not so much Abigail, but she'll be doing it soon. If you can imagine them going and them seeing the presents under the tree and them knowing what gifts they have, and they say, you know what, Mom, Dad, I don't really, it's okay. Take them back to the store. Can you picture a child doing that? If you know my children, you can't. The reality is kids don't do that, do they? No, gifts are meant to be received, aren't they? Jesus is the greatest gift, friends. Amen. The greatest gift you could ever receive is Jesus. And He offers Himself willingly. What do you have to do to receive Him? What's His expectation? You have to believe and you have to receive. Right. If I were to give you a gift, this evening a couple people from the church came and they gave me a gift, and I appreciate that. Connor came and he had a gift wrapped up for me and my wife. And when Connor gave the gift, I didn't go and say, Connor, is this nasty in here? I didn't do that. Did I? No. You believe that the gift is a good thing, right? But if I believed it, but I never took it as mine, I never received it, I said, thanks, Connor. And then he walked out to his truck after church, and he drove home with that gift. Do I have the gift? No. You have to receive it. You have to receive Jesus by faith. He is a gift. You have to receive Him by faith. How do you do that? You know that you can't save yourself. You believe that only Jesus can. And you accept Him. You put your faith on Him. You rely on Him. You receive Christ. His transformation. As many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. His expectation. To receive and to believe. His clarification. Verse 13. He gives a clarification here. How are these people saved? How do these people receive Christ? Verse 13. Which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. Can I remind you folks that your salvation is not from your ancestry? Praise the Lord, I have a family that always drugged me to church. I grew up on drugs. I was drugged to church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. But can I say you're not saved by your ancestry, are you? You're saved by Christ. They were not born of blood, nor of the will of the flesh. That's your achievements. I've talked to people before. They said, well, I've done this for the church. I've done that for the church. Can I say, friend, that's a great and wonderful thing. I've done this for the community. I've done that. That's wonderful, but that doesn't make you a child of God. You're not born by the will of the flesh, by what your body can perform. Next, you're not born by your aspirations, nor the will of man, but of God. You don't have to try harder to be saved. You just simply have to receive Christ. Amen. There are churches that'll say, well, you have to come forward and you have to pray it through. Can I say, folks, nowhere in the Bible does it say you need to pray it through to get saved. You know what you have to do? You have to receive Jesus. Amen. You receive Him. He's the received light. He's the real light. He's the received light. Finally, number three, He's the revealed light. Light. Verse 14 says this. The Word was made flesh. That's what we're talking about. Christmas. That's what Christmas is about, isn't it? The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. That has the idea of pitching your tent, camping out. We beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He revealed Himself by His birth. Can you fathom the idea of what I'm about to describe? God came to this earth to be man. That revealed God to us, didn't it? Jesus shows and reveals God in such a more in-depth way than we could have possibly ever had Jesus not come. He revealed Himself. He was the light that shone in a dark place, the Bible describes. In the book of Isaiah, chapter number 9, it talks about how the Word of God and Jesus in His work will give light to those that sit in darkness. To those that are in the shadow of death will a great light shine forth. Praise the Lord, folks. That's Jesus, isn't it? That's Jesus. He revealed Himself by His birth. Number two, He revealed Himself specifically to these disciples by His brilliance. Verse 14 says, we beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father. What does that mean? That means every day when they walked with Jesus, they saw that there was something different about Jesus. Jesus is different. Jesus is the Son of God. And they saw that. It revealed God to these disciples. When people were confused, when people didn't understand, you remember what the disciples said? To whom will we go? You have the words of eternal life. They saw who Jesus was. Revealed by His birth, revealed by His brilliance. Finally, number three, revealed by His balance. Verse 14 finishes and says that He was full of grace and truth. There's a great balance in Jesus, isn't there? Yep. Jesus loved the sinner, didn't He? Yep. He would spend time with those that society rejected. I love the picture that's brought in John chapter 8. There's a woman that was taken in adultery, and this woman had been caught in the very act of this sin. And she was brought to Jesus. And all of the Pharisees and the religious leaders said, the law says that she should be stoned. What do you say? You remember what Jesus said? He just sat there and He drew in the dirt. We don't know what He drew. I have my own speculations, but as He was writing there in the ground, every one of those religious leaders left. I speculate that He was writing their own sins in the ground. The woman looks up. She sees. And Jesus looks up. And Jesus says to the woman, where are your accusers? Does anyone stand to accuse you? She says, no man, Lord. And Jesus says, neither do I. Go and sin no more. There's a love there, but there's truth there. There's a passion for a lost soul, but there is a reality that things should be held accountable. That's Jesus, isn't He? Jesus came to die for sin, but He had to die so that sin could be removed. Jesus came to show His love for the soul, but can I remind you, folks, that not every soul is saved unless they receive Christ. There is a balance in God's ministry, and there's a balance in Jesus coming. The great blessing of Christmas is we get to celebrate and we get to appreciate what Christ did in coming to this earth. But can I say, friends, it would be a shame if you went into a Christmas Eve service like this and went out of this place and did not in your own heart know that you have received Christ. It's very clear in God's Word. He came to save you. 2 Timothy says that He came to save sinners. And can I remind you, friends, that Jesus came into this earth to save little old sinners like you and me. He loves us. Amen. So the question will be, will you receive the light? John chapter 3, I alluded to it earlier. He's talking to Nicodemus. He's talking in the evening. No doubt Nicodemus probably had some of a candle or some way to see, kind of like you have in your own hands. It was dark, and Jesus says to Nicodemus, John 3:19, he says, "This is a condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil." It's saying that light is there. It's available. Why would you walk in darkness when Jesus, the light of the world, has come to you? Receive Him today. Put your faith in Him. Receiving Christ is not coming to a church. Receiving Christ is not joining in membership. Receiving Christ is not turning over a new leaf. It's receiving the gift of God's Son, Jesus. It's putting your faith in Him. I hope and I pray that you will receive Christ this Christmas Eve. Receive the greatest gift of all, and that's Jesus.
Amen.
I normally do an invitation. Frankly, I can't hardly even see you guys to even do one. So here's what we're going to do instead. We're going to take a moment, and let's all bow our heads, close our eyes. No one looking around. I can't see you anyways. Here's what I want you to do. You say, "Hey, Pastor, I want to receive Christ." I'm going to give you an opportunity to do that. Receiving Christ is not you doing better. Receiving Christ is you saying, "I'm putting my faith in Him, not me." That's what it is. It's you saying, "I can't get myself to heaven. I can't be good enough." By the way, you can't be good enough. I can't be good enough. None of us can. We are sinners. If you already broke the law, you can't fix it by unbreaking the law. It's already broken. Can I say, Jesus, the perfect Son of God, came to this earth and He died when He didn't have to. He took your place. He was your substitute. You can receive Him today. You might say, "Pastor, I want to receive Christ today. I want to know that heaven is my home. I want to receive Him." And listen, friend, all you have to do, nice and simply, is you have to put your faith in Him. We normally go through a prayer. I want to be very clear. Prayer doesn't save anybody. It's Jesus that saves people. If your faith is in a prayer, you're not saved. Your faith is in yourself, what you said. Jesus saves people. But if you believe in Jesus and you believe what I'm about to say, then why don't you just repeat it to Him? Again, it's not the prayer that saves you. It's not the magic words that save you. It's Jesus that saves you. You say, "Pastor, I want to get saved. I want to get it settled. I want to receive Christ." If you believe what I'm about to say, then repeat it in your heart, not out loud, in your heart to the Lord. And receive Him as your personal Savior. Dear Heavenly Father, I know that I'm a sinner. And I believe that only Jesus can take away my sins. He died for me and came for me so that I could spend eternity in heaven. Right now, I'm believing and receiving Jesus as my personal Savior and asking Him to make it so that I can spend eternity with God. Help me to live for You. In Jesus' name, amen. Listen, friend, if you've received Christ, here's what I encourage you to do. In just a moment, we're going to dismiss. We're going to close in one song, and then we're going to dismiss. When that happens, I would love for you to come by and just say, "Hey, you know, Pastor, I received Christ. I did. I received the light." That would be awesome. I'll give you a book. I'll be praying for you. I want to pray for you. I want to be a blessing to you. I want to be a help. I really do. Okay? Let me encourage you, if you're still thinking about this, listen, folks, I got saved around Christmas. I received Christ around Christmas. Greatest gift I could have ever gotten. 1997, greatest gift I ever got was Jesus. Receive Christ. Receive Christ. Let's all stand. One final song. Go tell it on the mountain. Over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. Number 322, if you're using your hymnals, let's sing it together. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain. God bless y'all. You're dismissed. Merry Christmas. Hope you have a great Christmas. And we are praying for you. God bless you.